after Survivor Series from ESPN West Palm. He is Brian Rowitz, and from ESPN 1000 in Chicago, Jonathan Hood. Also, yet you can catch Hoodie as part of Busted Open Radio on Sirius XM on Sundays from 9 a.m. to 12 noon Eastern Time. All right, so a lot of things we're going to dive into here today, because we are, as I mentioned, coming off Survivor Series. And going off Survivor Series, we had maybe the best Raw of the year. I mean, it was a spectacular show. So it's just going to be a broad question, trying to catch all these different things from Survivor Series into Raw. What was your most memorable thing that happened in WWE this past 7 days?
R-Truth over Pete Dunne.
Mm. Or Butch. Which one was it?
Butch?
Brian? You are right, Gabe. You think about Monday Night Raws and how they just kind of just get through the show. But the two things I liked, I thought bookend, a strong SmackDown leading into Survivor Series and a terrific Raw right afterwards. They are cooking right now with gas. And so you think about the New Day. And I had no idea. Here's the great thing about wrestling. You watch wrestling, and sometimes they throw you a curveball, and you're like, whoa, that came out of nowhere. I'm telling you that what happened with the New Day, in which all of a sudden Big E is the babyface, and he always is, and that shocking end where you've got the other two, Woods and Kingston, turning on Big E, it's like, whoa, we didn't expect all that blowback. So I thought that that was a great segment. Now, here's the thing, Brian. As far as we know, Big E can't do anything about it except just take it because of his injury situation. But I just thought a fresh coat of paint on the New Day, whereas Woods and Kingston are heels, thumbs up to that.
Yeah, I mean, that did give me hope that we will see E in the ring again one day, and that is the ultimate payoff to this. I hope they're able to move things forward. I hope they keep those guys top of mind, because to me, the funny thing is Saturday Survivor Series was okay. I mean, we had expectations, you expected different things, but like the show in general is just okay. The New Day storytelling the last few weeks and then reading the Big E piece that day on the Players Tribune, that got me to watch Raw live. That doesn't happen often. I'm usually start behind so I can fast forward through stuff. That hooked me live, and like you said, did not see that coming in the slightest. Like E comes out, it's like, great, we get that pop. I was like, whoa, those two are turning heel? And I hope they can continue moving forward. And that was one of 10 amazing moments on Monday, which is the best part of all of this right now.
I guess for me, to me, this solidified that we're not going to see Big E.
Really?
Like this came out to me as Big E, obviously he was going to be there, but how can I push this group forward? Because they have been spinning their wheels the last, I don't know, year, 2 years. You know, when they said we hadn't seen Big E on Monday Night Raw in almost 4 years, I was, whoa, it's been that long already without Big E. So this group is spinning their wheels. And to me, you know, with Big E coming out there, okay, this is my parting gift. I can continue to push this legacy of the New Day by being the guy that they, whew, man, that was even Big E's, you know, Big E's significant other was going after Kofi and Xavier Woods, you know, taking shots at their, one's being vegan, one having, I believe, a child-ass palate was the eating habits of Xavier Woods were described as. I mean, that was a fantastic segment. But I guess I interpret it as, okay, Big E's not coming back anytime soon, but this is how they can still spin the New Day forward. And I honestly thought that was going to be the main event. I thought that was going to be the main event of Raw. And the fact that it ended up being in the middle of the show just kind of does talk about how great Monday Night Raw was. But in terms of the most memorable moment from the week, I still think it's got to end up being the close of Monday Night Raw, because I didn't see Drew McIntyre returning coming. Like, okay, who took out Jay in the back? All right, we got to figure this out. Who is going to be? I just assumed it was going to be Solo, you know, and that was going to be how they continue to spin old bloodline versus new bloodline forward. The fact that it was Drew McIntyre, now we've got to know a whole nother wrench into this whole thing of, okay, what are Drew's motivations? Is he still going after CM Punk? Who is he upset with? Does he want a shot at Roman Reigns? And is he going to try to prevent Roman from, you know, ascending once again? It's because he's got a lot of the same complaints that Seth and Kevin Owens, and you know, they've gone head to head a number of times, you know, over the last couple of years. So I'm intrigued as to, okay, what's the direction of this whole thing? Where's Drew going? So I'm going with Drew McIntyre being the most memorable moment, because as much I enjoyed Survivor Series. I thought it was fun. Ended up being pretty predictable, although I thought that the new Bloodline was going to win at the end. But everything else felt pretty predictable. It was still a really fun show. But because I did not see Drew coming and there were no whispers of it anywhere, and you're genuinely caught off guard, those moments rarely happen in pro wrestling today. So that's what I'm going with.
This is why I never understand from the internet wrestling community why people want to open up their phone and say that wrestling sucks or WWE sucks or wrestling sucks, because of Gabe, everything you just laid out. Look how many different angles you just took with your statement about what happens here with Drew McIntyre, then Seth Rollins here, then CM Punk. There's so many different ways to go. And so whether it's predictable or not, it's interesting because it's a slow burn for all of it. It's, again, different from AEW, but the point is, though, it's all still good. I never understand when someone's, you know what, this sucks. Does it really suck when you have these different, all these different things that could happen, all these different, so I never understand that. I'll say a very close second to me, and we should applaud Seth Rollins. That is one of the best promos we've seen from Seth Rollins in a long time. It's Seth Rollins with teeth, right? Yeah. With a little attitude. Just like when we talk sports all the time, we try to determine, like, who are you as a team, as a player? Who are you as a team? With Seth Rollins, I think it's always been very difficult to define what Seth Rollins is. When we saw that promo, holy shit. That's heel Seth Rollins. That doesn't care about being likable. You know, it's no cackle, no laugh.
Yeah.
Because he was dead serious with CM Punk. I enjoyed the hell out of that segment, too.
Yeah, that's the thing. To me, that opening segment, my second, because to your point, Hood, about the slow build, we've talked a lot about, like, what's going to be at Mania. You're always looking ahead to Mania, and you didn't really know where Punk was going to be. Then we see him as the fifth man. We're like, all right, Punk Roman, that could be fun. But then you see that segment, you're like, oh, no, I want to see Punk Rollins again now. And that opening segment, it wasn't just filler, which a lot of times the opening Raw is. It's just promo parade, this guy, that guy. Tag team main event, will they coexist? Like, there were so many different things to come off of that. We're like, oh, what are we getting now? And there's so many different ways they can go on the path to Mania that they've got me right now.
Well, and okay, Sammy Seth. I mean, we got to see that at the end of the show because, you know, and to kind of an unsatisfying finish, I would say. But, you know, it wasn't going to be a five-star classic on Monday Night Raw if they're going to give, you know, us a full Seth-Sammy event that's going to be behind a paywall somewhere, probably on Peacock for one of their PLEs. But I enjoyed that part of it as well because the thing about Seth, it wasn't just the Seth Punk portion, which Punk's retort of, man, you've been sick thinking about me for 6 months. I haven't thought about you at all. I love that retort because again, it's true to the motivations that CM Punk has laid out. He's trying to leave behind all these, you know, personal feuds. He wants money and he wants to win championships. And the reason why Seth Rollins was in his sights before is because Seth Rollins was champion. He was the world heavyweight champion. Hasn't been that for a handful of months now, so he doesn't think about Seth Rollins. So I really enjoyed that part. But then Seth completely tearing down Sammy and kind of having some of the same conversations, slightly twisted, that we see with KO and Cody Rhodes over on SmackDown again. And that's another portion. That's another tentacle that can eventually get dragged in. It just seems like so many things in WWE are all interconnected, and that's what makes Raw, and the 2 hours helps, but that's what makes 2 hours fly by.
No question about that. And so because of what we talked about with that opening segment of CM Punk, guys, you will not believe that I saw CM Punk in the Indies just control a whole room. Right, I used to go pay to see him, and he would take his fist and talk into his fist. Didn't have a mic. He would just talk. And people would be quiet to listen to him in front of a room of 300 people and just talk into his fist, saying, this is my microphone. You can't take my microphone away. Like, how bizarre is that, right? But it shows you that in my lifetime, in our lifetime, to me, CM Punk is a top 10 promo. Because look at happened. Look what happened on Monday. He pointed to a corner of the arena without a sign.
Right.
I loved it.
Because you know what I'm thinking? I'm like, oh, is there going to be a curtain come down on a banner? Like, is the curtain like going to go up or down? Like, oh, it's a WrestleMania banner up there. He just pointed to a corner of the arena, and people are craning their neck looking like, is there a WrestleMania banner up there? No. He's just trying to capture the audience saying, my dream is to point at that sign and say, I'm going to be in the main event of WrestleMania. he just captured the audience. So he set the tone with Edge for Seth Rollins to come out, and then the show went from there. But it started with a CM Punk promo. What a surprise.
He set the tone for the next 5-6 months, which is the incredible part. Like, the reason there's no sign yet is we're not even close to Mania. But that point and that standing on the turnbuckle is what hooked us to now we're like, well, is it this main event or is it that main event? Who are you going to put in? Like, they have so many options right now, which I wouldn't have said 2 weeks ago even.
It's because WrestleMania is the Super Bowl. I mean, again, right. It makes it a little bit more... Again, it's a risk creatively to be like this far out to be starting to book WrestleMania, right? But we do it when we talk sports in every other way, right? Like, we're talking about the Packers today as they get ready to take on the Lions, as in, okay, well, I mean, if they win today, are they really Super Bowl contenders? Are they not Super Bowl contenders? And these are conversations that you have throughout the course of any sport in any season of ultimately getting toward that end goal. And WrestleMania is that Super Bowl, and winning the Super Bowl for CM Punk is main eventing Mania. That's what he has been. I mean, that was a goal of his a decade ago when we last saw him in WWE that he never got to, you know, experience, even though he had the match against The Undertaker, even though he was champion going into one of those WrestleManias and holding that WWE championship. He didn't get to main events. And oh, by the way, if The Rock ever does come back, you can fold The Rock into all of that again as well, because The Rock is a big reason why CM Punk did not main event a decade ago. It's Triple H has really done such an incredible job. Again, not everything's a home run, but I mean, the way that he is folding and making everything connected is one of my favorite things that he's done in WWE.
Well, to me, that's the ultimate testament, like comparing it to the NFL where, you know, Thursday Night Football, the opening week of the season, like the Ravens lose to the Chiefs and we're talking about the Super Bowl. It's like, oh, does this mean they're not going to win the Super Bowl in February? The fact that we can look that far ahead with WWE and compare it to the pro sports, that's the ultimate testament to Triple H right now.
Yeah, I would ask you stop using the word testament. We're done with that in WWE.
We are?
Yeah, so it's a stop using testament, New Testament. Let's just stop using that word, please.
Got it. You talk about, get that memo.
Just filler programming in WWE. Like as Gabe just said, everything's at a home run. That is a ground ball to short.
Hey, they said somehow it's all tied back to Karrion Kross somehow. He predicted this.
See what I mean? It's just like, it might just be a commercial. It's a test pattern. Please stop putting them on TV. Please stop doing it. Stop.
Again, somebody's got to bat 8th and 9th in this lineup, right? And they're not all going to be Shohei.
You got that right. You talk about a perfect 9th slot hitter. Here's the New Testament. Ground ball to short, the first baseman time two away. Now we go to the top of the order.
Yeah, I was about to say, you got to get back to the top of the order somehow. I mean,
it really is. God bless you for saying that, because it really is the 9th place. And I'm like, what are these guys? What are you guys talking about? Why are you on my TV again?
Yeah.
But I tell you what, Triple H learned from the old man there. Keep believing, pal. Doesn't matter if the audience doesn't like it. Just if you believe in it, put it on TV. Oh, God.
No reaction.
The other thing, too, by the way, again, this is kind of like a second or third level, but I still enjoyed Raw, is kind of a repushing of Finn Balor. I think it's established now that Gunther is a character babyface, but it's just like Finn Balor, huh? We've gone through this before where Finn fell short of winning the world championship. Now he's going to be on Saturday night's main event. It'll be a fine match. You know, it's going to be good. I'm surprised they're going with one half of the world tag team champions again to try to heat him up, because I don't believe he can win the championship, but I'll like the match.
Well, I hope those belts just put them on New Day and then you can push the tag team division.
There you go.
Like, I hope the New Day doesn't get fed to the Wyatts and then this whole run's over.
Oh, right. That's not on them. That's just on creative.
Right. So that would not surprise me based on their booking.
Yeah.
So a lot of great things going and building momentum towards WWE, but we look into what else is going on in the world of professional wrestling. We like to call it the three count here on GKW, the other top three stories in the world of pro wrestling. Brian, what is number one this week?
All right. Let's do some negativity. We had too much positivity there. Let's go to the AEW world. What is the AEW story you most want to see dropped right now?
Adam Cole and MJF. I'm just not feeling it. Look, I mean, it was hot. It could have been hot had Adam not gotten hurt, right? I mean, I think there was still some confusion over the whole devil storyline and that whole thing when it was initially revealed. But had it happened right away, I could have gotten behind it and because they awkwardly tried to reheat it and they're trying to bring it back and make it all make sense literally a year later. Like that was a long time ago at this point that we had to deal with that. So I think both can do better. It's tough because I think MJF still has some responsibilities with this Happy Gilmore 2 movie that he's reportedly a part of. So he's not there. So he's got to do it over video. I don't know. I guess I'm not even expecting Adam Cole to win and then go on to face MJF at World's End. I think Kyle O'Reilly somehow will end up getting the better of him. But I actually enjoyed Dynamite for the most part last night, except for the Battle Royal and like that promo for MJF. It just kind of fell flat for me.
So along those lines, anything that has to do with Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole. So the same concept you're talking about, Gabe, but still, Kyle O'Reilly, why should I care?
Yeah.
I mean, you got a conglomeration shirt on. I know you can go in the ring, but just remember when they were in NXT, he was just kind of like the fourth wheel. And by the way, can go. There's just no personality and no reason for me to care. Like, why should these two win the Battle Royal? And it's kind of like, oh God, that's what you came up with. So now these two have to so like what Gabe is saying, but just Kyle O'Reilly is part of it. The other thing is like anything Chris Jericho and ROH, unless there is a TV deal in place, again, taking up TV time, unless you could show me some graphic that when Jericho's on that there's a spike, I don't understand why he's consistently taking up the TV time. I know it's a gimmick. I know it's a heel. But at the same time, though, I'd rather see something fresh and new on AEW.
In fairness, he was only a New York minute this week.
That's right.
And 90 seconds too long.
Yeah, look, I'm not saying it was good. I'm saying at least it was very limited to a very short period of time.
And spoiler alert for those that watch Honor Club, so really just Jay Hood, you're going to get Jericho and Cardona at Hammerstein Ballroom in a couple weeks. That doesn't do it for you?
I wish you wouldn't have spoiled that for me.
That's what he does. We're not going to get to it, but he spoiled Rampage for me because it was on early on Saturday. I had no idea that Harley Cameron was Harley Graham. And then Brian just had to text us all like, oh, my God, I can't believe this. And I had no idea.
It's good. Always good every Thursday work with Browitz Meltzer to spoil it for us. thank you so much, Browitz. Meltzer, always there with the spoilers. There's no reason for that.
Well, that's the thing to me. Like, Jericho, in my mind, that's skippable. Anytime I see him and I see Learning Tree stuff, I fast forward through it. Like, it's very skippable.
Wow.
Like, it's just, there's nothing to it for me right now. That's why I agree with the MJF and Cole thing where, you had your out. Like, yes, it could have been hot. You didn't get your ultimate payoff because of the injury. The out was there. There was so much time that Cole was out. We didn't need to go back to this. And especially when you're now going backwards and reversing things where Cole was the heel. Well, now he's the face. Now he's back.
Well, because that's the thing. Because MJF doesn't play as a babyface. He only played as a babyface because he was associated with Cole. And Cole can be a good heel and turning on MJF. But by the time that, you know, by the time Cole came back, it's like, well, MJF can't really be babyface. We got to turn him heel again. And now the whole dynamic, just the whole thing is off. It's the sooner it's over, the better.
That's why
for everybody involved.
Right. That's why I don't get why they didn't just chalk it up as a loss. Like we missed our moment. Injuries happen. It's part of wrestling and move on. Because I agree with you. O'Reilly wins next week. Then it's him, MJF at World's End. That means we still have more time before we get to MJF and Cole again. So, like, I don't see it ending anytime soon, which is the unfortunate part.
And it's just like, you know, now they're pointing fingers like MJF says, no, Cole, you're the heel. And Cole says, no, you're the heel. It's like, I don't care anymore.
Right.
And it's because of what you just laid out. It was dead when the mask came off of Adam Cole and injured Adam Cole.
Right.
It was dead. It died right there. And you're trying to rekindle, heat up something that the audience didn't care about. Just don't.
No.
And these are two great wrestlers. I wish there was in something different because I do want to see them in the ring separately on doing something else besides this.
I agree.
And like Cole, like when Cole initially came back, it looked like they were going to leave it alone because he told the Undisputed Kingdom, hey, I can't really be associated with you. I know we're really – because, again, Undisputed Kingdom still heals. He was coming back to a babyface welcome. Hey, I got to do this alone. And everyone's like, oh, okay, we'll give you your space. But then they were associated, and then he came out wearing the shirt, and they never really explained it, and now he's going, it just, it's, no, man, like, just, let's move along.
Yep.
We have to be able to start writing better in AEW as far as numbers games. You know, it's kind of like Judgment Day against Damian Priest. Like, this should die, right? Yes. Because Priest will never get over. He can get him one-on-one, but there's always a numbers game. And so Priest and Rhea can never really beat the Judgment Day. So just give the Judgment Day the win or let them move on to something else, because Priest will never get his comeuppance. The same thing in AEW, right? So you get a segment with Hook. And if you want to really push Hook as like the next CM Punk badass, that kind of, you want to do that, that's fine. But he can't win against Nick Wayne and Christian and Nelson because he's got no backup.
Right.
So, well, and I mean, so now, and now we're leading to this whole thing also with Swerve against the Hurt Syndicate, where it's just Swerve by himself against two other guys. It might be three soon. The number games things, Gabe, do not work. If you're a solo entity and you know you can never get an opponent one-on-one because there's always a gang mentality, if you got no backup, then it's always the same creative.
Yeah, Hook said other guys. I'm surprised nobody came running out to save Hook at some point. But obviously, he's now been written off television with a broken hand after having his hand concertoed by Christian Cage, who said he's got other things he needs to worry about. So I don't think we have to worry about Hook. I think they, which again, they seem to be building towards something. Now they're pivoting away, and obviously Christian Cage is going to be involved in something else in AEW, probably based on the way that Full Gear ended, probably angling more towards Jon Moxley in that world championship in some form or fashion. So they had to, yeah, at least they tied that loose end out of, and Christian Cage showing, hey, I'll deal with you later. I just have to take care of you now so you're out of my hair, break his hand, and now I can go focus on other things. At least they took the time to tie up that loose end before they revisit it later. But
well, when it comes to this, you know, it comes to Jon Moxley, and I know, Gabe, you're a big Moxley fan. I like that he's AEW champion, but tell me if I'm wrong, guys, because I might have missed it. I'm watching the end where Jon Moxley comes out, and I don't recall Excalibur saying that that's Jon Moxley, the AEW champion. Did he say that? Yeah, go back to the commentary. I don't think he goes, here's Moxley. It, like, but I don't think he ever said, guys, this is the AEW champion, Jon Moxley. Now, I understand that it's like, you know, you got 15 commentators there. And so maybe you have very small windows. But you know, it becomes Naked Gun after a while. There's Joyce Brothers and there's Dick Vitale and there's Tim McCarver and there's like a million guys in the booth. But the point is, though, is that that's the AEW champion. That has to, again, for a new audience, tell them that's the champion. And he's taking this. So I don't think they said his name. I didn't say his that he's a champion. It's just Jon Moxley. I think that's a problem.
Yeah, I wonder if that's part of it. Like, the fact that we haven't seen the belt, like, is that part of the story somehow? Like, that it carried in a briefcase? Like, man, are we just impatient when it comes to that?
Gotta say what he is, though. He's the he's the guy in the company.
Yeah, I didn't even see I didn't even see the briefcase last night. Because Marina's usually carrying it, and she came out to you know, kind of confront Jay White there.
Right, that's fair. Yeah, because she's jumping oranges back. Like, and I know the patience there. Like, Death Rider's still, like, I'm waiting for that thing to, like, ultimately pull me in, because it feels like they're treading water, where we talked about maybe we don't see him drop that belt till All In, which is a long way away at this point. But I don't know, it's just very odd where they're going with all those different places right now.
I will tell you that a positive for them is being on in Fishers, Indiana. When I found out that that's where, I was like, Gabe, we're in the Midwest. We're like, Fishers, Indiana? Really? Like, that's where you... And so it's 27 minutes from Indianapolis. And of course, they call it Indy. No, that's 30 minutes away. It's Fishers, Indiana. But I will say this. It was kind of like a 2022 crowd, wasn't it? Yeah. It sounded like old school AEW because they were in everything. They were cheering. And like I said, that's a shot in the arm. How did they know that that would be the crowd? I think this is the first time they ran that building. And it was a really good, positive crowd.
And I will say things working also is the seat too. Like, we've talked about it before. Like, the matchups we're seeing, I love the new format of the fact that we're going to get semifinals and finals on the same night in Orlando at the end of the month. But those matches continue to deliver week in and week out.
Yeah, because it gives you, you know, again, you don't have to do a ton of storytelling. It's just, hey, here's a tournament with a bunch of really good wrestlers. Enjoy what we're going to put out there for you. And honestly, I mean, it kind of helps Dynamite move along a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, because you're going to have a couple of those matches on Dynamite that you have to look forward to. And even if you then fill in a couple other ones, and again, you know, the Swerve Strickland not really being involved in that. You had some good matches outside of that that weren't involved in the Continental Classic. So, again, outside of the New York Minute with Jericho and the Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole thing, I thought Dynamite was pretty good last night. I thought they put together a pretty good Dynamite. Now, again, I think could they do a better job with Mox? I want to know why it's – I'm with you. Why is it in the briefcase? Right. Why are they locking it away? Because otherwise he should just be carrying it around, because then you know he's the guy.
I'll explain it. I mean, I'll explain it because Moxley explained it early, and it seems like it's been years ago. But he did say, remember, it's about excess. He goes, you know what? Everyone talks about the World Heavyweight Championship. Everyone wants this. Well, you know what? We're going to put it away because it's really about us. Don't focus on the championship. It's about the Death Riders. And I'm tired of the grab ass around here. Everyone's having fun. Everyone's doing flippy stuff. And no one's really focused on what made AEW what it is. And that's great wrestling and everyone hustling and all that stuff. So I'm going to take this away from you. And so that was kind of a symbol of, yep, you want it? It's in the box. You want it? But I'm not displaying it. This is it. And so it's unique to have a wrestling show every week in which the world champion doesn't have his championship in a promo or in the ring, but he said, you're not going to see it. And by the way, whoever wins it, it's going to be glorious because people are like, oh, here it is, the world, here he is, the world champion, whoever it is, right? Whoever's going to win it. So that's it's quite interesting. By the way, and I agree with you, and that's on me, Brian. I should have texted you because I was going to bring up a topic of, so who do you want to win the Continental Classic? I talked about this on Busted Open, and it was and my choice is Brody King.
Yes, I agree. So, and like, I was sad to see him lose last night. That crowd is behind him.
Yeah.
Just like they were last year for the Continental Classic.
Yeah, right, exactly. So I was gonna send it as a topic, but our time ran out. But I just think that watching him against Claudio and just like as a singles, there is money in that guy.
Yeah,
but it feels like chalk because it's AEW. That feels like Fletcher Ospreay or Ospreay. What I don't have it in front of me, but could it be Ospreay Okada? Is that a possibility in two different leagues?
Yeah, they're on opposite sides.
Yeah, because the semifinals are first place from one versus second place in the other, and then vice versa. Those are the semifinals, and then you've got the final.
Unless they want, and this is a possibility too, maybe they want Darby, who lost to the big guy in the first round, Brody King, unless they want to get Darby from underneath and let him win it, because I think they see him as the next champion. Maybe.
But does this do that for him? Remember, he didn't have the belt.
The Continental Classic?
The Continental Championship. He'll have walk around with that. Yeah.
Sure. On his shoulder. Right. Well, we already talked about it as a show, right? I said, say it out loud. Darby Allin, AEW champion.
Right.
Does that make sense? And it's kind of like, here's a guy that doesn't need the title.
No.
So the blue side is Kyle Fletcher, Daniel Garcia, Okada, Shelton, Mark Briscoe, and Beast Mortos. The gold side, Claudio, Ospreay, Brody King, Ricochet, Darby, and now Commander, who replaces Juice Robinson, which you probably could have had a better replacement there.
Yes, because you've killed Commander Cold in AEW. So, yeah, I should have. But my guy is Brody King. I just think that in the old school, man, Bill Watts and some of those other promoters would have put the title on the big guy. Say, who's going to beat that guy?
You mentioned Juice. Did I see that right? Did I see that he broke his leg early in that match and then still wrestled?
Yes.
And I think, I don't know if he wrestled, but then showed up to an indie show this week and also said, it's just a sprain. And it's like, oh no, that hurts a lot more.
Yeah. Because because if you ever want to know what Joliet, Illinois looks like, it looks like Juice Robinson. You want to know what that say? It looks like Juice Robinson, every bit of it.
What do we got at number two this week, Brian?
All right, Eric Bischoff was on the Ariel Helwani podcast and was talking about the Bloodline. Says they have, quote, passed the NWO as the greatest story in wrestling history, but not the greatest faction. So what's a better story, Bloodline or NWO?
Well, I mean, I will say this, and it's just tough to beat the peak of anything that happened in the 90s, because that was, I mean, wrestling was just so mainstream then. The Rock, Stone Cold, the NWO, like it was everywhere, right? So the Bloodline, obviously at its peak, and I don't even know if it's necessarily had it. It's been relatively, I mean, there are dips when Roman's not around, but it's still relatively, I mean, it's up there, but it's a pretty just steady progression. So is the peak of the Bloodline better than the peak of the NWO? No. Like when Hogan dropped the leg, like that's still just an iconic moment in wrestling history. What makes the Bloodline the greatest story ever told in professional wrestling is that they still have us hooked 4 years later. Like they have found twists and turns in this whole thing that have just had us hooked. At this point in the NWO, like 90% of WCW is either in the Wolfpack or Hollywood, and they had all these different. No, it was just so damn convoluted; it just didn't make any sense anymore. So, Bloodline to me is running circles around NWO, even though the height and the peak of the NWO might have been a little bit higher.
That is all correct, and because Eric Bischoff said it, I couldn't care less. Go ahead.
When he says things like this, it takes the criticisms he has of AEW. Like when you say things like this, it just shows that you are inherently biased. And I understand, like the NWO is your baby, and it's what got you 83 weeks in the podcast. And literally all the success that you have is based off of the NWO, because that's the hottest thing you had and the hottest thing that you created in WCW. But when you bogart it the way you do, and you just coddle it the way you do, now the criticisms you have of AEW, oh, they're just too stuck in their ways. They're never going to change. This thing's always going to suck. Like, it has no credence to it, because it's obvious that you actually have no ability to look at anything unbiasedly.
Amen. For Jim Cornette and Eric Bischoff and many others, there's money in it. Just shit on AEW every time you take the microphone, because there's money in it. And people like Robitaille Sheep are like, yeah, AEW sucks. They'll never succeed. That's funny. They have a TV deal that's very lucrative. Looks like they're doing just fine. And this is the old school wrestling people from the 80s and 90s that don't understand television ratings and how it doesn't matter anymore. They are paying AEW to put it on Warner Media.
Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. And of course, they'll never understand that. But when it comes to Eric Bischoff,
so there's a lot. I have a lot of problems with Eric, but one of the major problems is that you cannot be an analyst for wrestling and just shut the door on one company and say, I give up. They'll never be right. How could you say that when you failed in several companies?
Right.
I mean, you were bankrupt. You put you helped put WCW in bankruptcy because you didn't have anything besides Goldberg and NWO. You were pretty much a one-trick pony. You went to TNA and say, I had nothing to do with TNA. But then you had a part in the creative, and you try to flush that company too, because you brought in the old same issues from WCW brought to TNA and almost killed them too. So he's got no credence with me, man. I appreciate what he did in the business for his 83 weeks where he beat Vince and how exciting that was for Nitro. But it came to an end quickly. 83 weeks, that's not a lifetime. It's right. Just not. And so when his opinion about the NWO, can I just tell you, if Eric Bischoff had the pencil in WWE and had to write the story of the Bloodline, it would be dead on the vine in a year.
Yeah.
Because he'll talk about Sarza and story and all that kind of stuff. Hey, man, what was your story for the NWO? What was your story for Goldberg? What was your story for WCW for them to come back against the NWO? Right?
Yeah.
So he can't tell me about his storytelling when he would always blame Ric Flair, Kevin Sullivan, blame Terry Taylor, blame anybody else in WCW except himself. Because when the matches happened, Brian, you know where he was? He was in a room like this with a monitor watching like a fan. He wasn't a gorilla. He right. wasn't a gorilla. He was always – so he can't tell me about story when he couldn't write one himself on a regular basis.
That's the funny part, though, is when you put these two next to each other, to your point, Gabe, yes, the peak of Hogan dropping the leg, nothing's going to top that. But there's only few, you know, big moments that then came after that. Like, we talk about all the time, they wasted the Sting moment. The Goldberg title win was wasted on a Nitro. Like, the Bloodline, there's so many tentacles and so many stars that are being made out of this, where Heyman is what he is, where Sammy gets that Montreal pop, where you have the whole Cody-verse right now, which is all tied back to the Bloodline. The Rollins and Punk stuff, which is tied back to the Bloodline. Like, they all come back to Roman, and that's all a credit to the Bloodline right now.
Well, and you want to talk about the new stars. I mean, Solo's looking great.
Yes.
Jacob Fatu is a madman that just is oozing. Like, you're just dreaming about the matchups in the future with him and all the money that you can make and him becoming a star. Jey Uso becoming main event. Yeah. Jey Uso. I know Browitz doesn't like him, but for the rest of us, you know, we're out there yeeting along and enjoying the work that he's put in outside of the Bloodline. You know, in his Intercontinental Championship run and everything he's done on Monday Night Raw, and now he's back with the Bloodline.
Well, I'd even say, like, I know he got hurt, but that little extra bump of Bronson being involved in that match Saturday, like, that was a little thing that, you know, we didn't see happening with the NWO. Like, Horace Hogan isn't getting to the Bronson Reed levels and things like that. Like, we are getting stars just being around the Bloodline.
God, you're that size and your ankle crumples like that when you come down off the top of that cage. I'm not expecting to see him anytime soon, and if we do, that man is made of rubber.
Also, if Roman didn't get out of the way, I don't know if Roman would have survived that.
Correct.
High space.
CM Punk literally saved a life.
Yes.
let me just say this. There's a little Tony Khan in all of us, I guess, including Triple H. So you could tell the big man they'll go to the top. The top rope would have been fine. Still the same impact.
Oh, yeah.
And probably no injury. Like, I know that you want to have the big moment, but not to the point where you injure yourself. It's funny. If this happened in AEW, Tony Khan would be criticized. How could you let Edge be on top of the cage and do that? You know why? Because everybody wants to be Superfly Snuka against Morocco in the cage. Everybody wants to be Snuka, right? So, but if you're Triple H, you're a big guy. Just do it from the ropes. That'll be fine. You got to go to the top of the cage. So there's Tony Khan and everybody. To allow that to happen is I think, booking malpractice.
I mean, they'd already established the tsunami as a devastating move. You do six of them and Seth Rollins disappears for 3 months, right? Like, that's just, you've already established coming off the top rope for a tsunami is pretty devastating. You put somebody on top of a table. Okay, I can do that math in my head. And again, to Browitz's point, okay, I'm doing the math in my head, climbing to the top of the rope. Whether it's in kayfabe or real life, somebody's going to die if you actually hit that from the top of the cage.
So there's no need for that moment. That's my point. By the way, I should have mentioned that November around Thanksgiving, you guys know I work with the UIC Flames. We had our went to a basketball tournament in Daytona Beach, Florida. Did you know that? I was in Daytona. We did. It was at the Ocean Center, the same place where Hogan turned heel.
Ah,
what a dump.
There's not like a plaque. There's not a plaque somewhere in the arena of here's where Hollywood Hulk Hogan was born.
I would hope for, as a play-by-play guy, I would hope for a better Wi-Fi and then the plaque. Get the Wi-Fi right first and then maybe a plaque. Holy cow, what a dump that place is. But we were there for 3 days, Brian, and so it was just good to be a part of that nostalgia of, like, looking around, like, oh, this little place, huh? This is where Hogan turned heel? And by the way, there's memorial garbage that was thrown in the ring. It's still around, by the way. It's in an area. Garbage that was thrown in the ring when Hogan turned heel. So that's still available there in Daytona.
What a historic moment for you.
Yes. So, the garbage.
What do we got at number three this week?
All right, Sean Ross Sapp pointed this out. BetOnline.ag has their betting favorite for the 2025 Royal Rumble. On the women's side, it's the man Becky Lynch. On the men's side, The Rock. So here, early December, who are your Royal Rumble favorites?
Worth noting that Becky Lynch was at some sort of WWE Netflix events. Granted, her husband Seth Rollins was also there, but again, Becky's not going anywhere. I'm assuming she'll be back within the company very, very soon. I don't think it's going to be The Rock, because Sean Ross Sapp also had a report kind of confirming, I can't remember where initially came out, where WWE, as of right now, is moving forward as if The Rock is not wrestling in WrestleMania 41, because
that came
not
from
commit.
Dwayne. Like, he said on someone on Instagram, like, oh, I'm busy. Like, I'm not going to be at Mania this year, which, you know, he's the ultimate worker, but he's the one that ultimately put that out there first.
Yeah. But again, because you said that, like, how am I supposed to believe The Rock, right? Like, but if that's actually the plan for WWE not to move forward, I kind of still lean towards CM Punk. I think you need to strike when the iron is hot with Punk. And it's still incredibly hot. Whenever he's in there, they're going to be hot. But at the same time, if we know he can get injured. I mean, that's been, right, unfortunately, a big part of his return. As fun as some of the matches have been, whether it was AEW in the 2 years he was there or now this past year in WWE, he has spent a lot of that time on the shelf. And hopefully they can strike while the iron is hot, because I just don't want it to be a situation where, oh, we'll get to it next year. Oh, we'll get to it next year. And we just never see it because the timing just doesn't add up of him unfortunately being injured around that time. So I am going to say on the men's side, CM Punk, I think, is my favorite right now, because I think they need to get to him and tell whatever story that, and again, that opens up the main event of Saturday wide open if The Rock is not going to be involved. Or excuse me, Sunday.
Yeah. So how do we get Kevin Owens in this? Because see how the tentacles you laid out there earlier? It could be Drew McIntyre. It could be Kevin Owens.
Well, KO's going to be winning the title next week, so he doesn't need to be in it.
God, I please let that happen so we can aggregate this to death. Because you're the only one, by the way. He's been saying
it for months ago.
Yes, yes.
Like, we would have to put together a supercut of the number of times Browitz has said it on this show.
Yes.
And I'm with him, man.
We're a week away.
I am with him. KO should win.
Brother, if that happens, my God, that should be on everywhere. That should be on TikTok, Instagram. That should be on everyone's reel that this man has called this out for a while. And again, in December on NBC, yes, a title change.
And well, by again, the way, they're using these Saturday, like, that's all we have before the Rumble.
Yeah.
Like, there's no PLE. We have two Saturday night main events because there's going to be another one in January. We have two Saturday night main events before the Rumble. Those are the PLEs and
Netflix. Well, the Netflix
debut. Well, yes, you have Netflix in there, which I think is going to be treated like a PLE, as we've discussed before, because it's behind a paywall and all those sorts of things. So you have those three opportunities to do something big. And to make, because I feel like they did something similar to a Saturday night main event maybe a decade or so ago, and it's just kind of like, I don't need to watch this. Sure. So to establish this, what better way to establish it than, hey, anything can happen on these, and Cody Rhodes can lose his championship.
If you're going to do it now, because people will say, wow, Kevin Owens won the championship. What's going on with Roman? Seriously, like, because of how tepid the world title is, the Universal Championship is, people are like, wow, Kevin won? So what's happening with this bloodline over here? Like, because now people won't be like in an uproar, like, I can't believe Cody lost. Now that's a story that unfurls itself where Cody's now chasing for the championship. I had no problem with that.
Well, that's the thing about the Rumble. I feel like the titles are actually cold right now. The Rumble could be the chance to get things hot. I wrote down Cena because I have KO winning next week. Cody wins it back at the Rumble. And then Cody, Cena, that's a main event.
Oh, God.
Like, that gets headlines. Like, they, you know, it's not for us. Mania is not for us hardcore fans. It's for the casual.
Bro, no. But that used to be true, Brian. That used to be true with Vince. I don't know if it's as true anymore with Hunter in charge.
I think the main event still is. Like, we'll get our taste. Like, you'll get the Sammy Gunther matches and things like that. But the main event is still, hey, who's going to tune in? Who are we going to hook people in? Cena Cody would do that.
All right. Give me Cena Cody. But Cena's got to be a heel.
No, it's babyface versus babyface. Everyone gets bored and it leaves early.
No. I need Cena.
Man, you have just been so poisoned by Vince over the years. You're just assuming that oh man.
Vince is like the boogeyman underneath his bed. He thinks he's still doing creative. Yeah. He's not there anymore.
The man's not dead yet. I'm not ruling it out yet.
Well, close. Definitely. Yeah, I know.
But still.
From a career standpoint, he's pretty dead. That is for
they
sure.
Just have Thanksgiving together, I'm sure. So he's gonna throw ideas out there.
Goddamn, pal. I think that I'm down with it if you give me Cena, first of all, cutting up Cody in a promo, but I mean just like kind of the edge we saw from Seth Rollins, that kind of thing where, yeah, it's my last year, but you know what? I've been here before. I've been a longtime champion. Yeah, if I get that edgy Cena, absolutely. Let's do it.
Yeah, to me, that doesn't need a championship. Like, if you want to do Cena, Cody, yeah. To me, main event that bad boy, night one of WrestleMania. That's a night one of WrestleMania main event if I ever heard one.
So I agree, but then to that point, like, we assume Rock's lying. So Rock Roman's night two. You're going to have both main events be non-title matches?
You're not doing that, no.
I don't think Rock's wrestling. I am believing the reports. Again, he's the Rock. He can do whatever he wants and could just say, hey, I'm coming back, and then they got to come up with something for him. But I don't think he is going to be wrestling at Mania, and I think he'll get Punk versus – I'm not sure.
McIntyre.
I'm not sure at this point. It could be – yeah, it could be McIntyre. It could be Seth Rollins. It could be a number of different people. Because, again, if CM Punk is going to main event, it's not main eventing night one. It's main eventing night two. That means something to CM Punk, or at least should. The way that he has talked, the way that he has behaved, because main eventing night one, he's already kind of done that with his main event match when they did triple main events, right? And his main event match against The Undertaker. It's the same thing.
No, you got to be on last. Like he
that's
wants
what
to
I'm
be
saying.
On last.
The absolute last thing of WrestleMania, CM Punk, that's what he wants. He wants to be the last thing to go out on. And who knows, maybe that ends up being Roman Punk.
So let's ask a different question along those lines. Is Punk deserving of that?
Yeah, yes. It's a risk, though, because of the health, like Gabe said. But yes, he's deserving.
I mean, he's interesting, but then there's these five or six other wrestlers that we mentioned that also could vie for the championship and be the night two ending for WrestleMania. And I'm just saying, like, it's a slippery slope with Punk, as you well know. He's hanging on with tongue depressors and Elmer's glue body wise. Yes. Just saying.
If we're power ranking wrestlers on the men's side, I mean, Punk's number two in the power rankings right now.
Behind Roman, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, nothing stronger than the Bloodline, and the main event of WrestleMania, probably both nights, if not the second night, will have Bloodline ramifications. So I don't know how So Punk
Sammy,
Roman,
Sammy Gunther, Punk Roman.
I wasn't going to say Sammy's world champ, but you know, I'm fine.
Well, I mean, again, I'm trying to get you back in on WrestleMania since you've already given.
Don't worry,
up
I wrote
it.
Down the word Sammy. I just wasn't. So is
that the favor? That's remember. This is the remember. There's a favor here that that Heyman owes to CM Punk because he was involved in Survivor Series. So what's the favor?
Well, again, if Roman somehow gets that championship back before WrestleMania, I think that's the favor. Again, I don't know how we get there.
Right. How do we get there? If Owens has won the title, how does he get there? Wait a minute.
Well, even if Owens wins the title, if Cody still has the title, because they're connected, but very loosely with the Bloodline right now, right? Like, they're not in Bloodline drama. So I think that would be, yeah.
So Saturday night's main event, San Antonio in January. Roman wins the title. Is that where we're going? Like,
or he wins it at the
Rumble? Elimination Chamber. Yeah,
this is ridiculous.
I don't know. I don't know how we get there, but I think Punk again. The easiest way for Punk to get there to bring back the original question: who are your Royal Rumble favorites? I think CM Punk on the men's side is my favorite because that's the easiest way. Of I don't care who champion is, but Punk's waiting for you at the end.
So Drew McIntyre on one side and Charlotte on the other. Sorry.
That's the thing. On the women's side, I didn't have like a home run answer.
Yeah, either did I.
It almost feels like it is. Like, oh, yeah, Charlotte's been busy. Let's roll her out there.
A returning Charlotte Flair.
A returning Charlotte Flair. It's been a year, hasn't it?
I feel like it's almost been a long time.
Yeah, like it's been a while since we see her. So it'll be, again, fresh faces. Becky, fresh faces.
Yeah.
Coming back. Now, unfortunately, you would think that the women's division, not like our favorites, like it should be Chelsea Green in that spot, right? It should be someone
if she doesn't win that U.S. title, I'm rioting. I'm personally rioting for a friend of the show.
It's like Chelsea Green, like fresh Chelsea Green, Meechan, you know, stars like that. Last legend at some point in 2025. like we're still waiting for like Bianca and Jade, whenever that's going to be.
Well, yeah, I mean. I mean, could somebody like Raquel? I mean, if they blow up the Judgment Day, does she somehow win it to try to get in line to get revenge against Liv? I'm thinking of the 10 women that were in War Games, and would any one of those 10 be somebody I would be interested in winning the Royal Rumble? And I think my answer is pretty much no.
I mean, I feel like Rhea and Bianca will make. magic with whatever you put them in. They also don't need a Rumble.
But they don't need to win the Royal Rumble. Like, they're Rhea and Bianca. Like, they're two-year biggest stars. You can come up with a way for them to be involved in, like, because the women's Royal Rumble is still so new relative to the men's. Like, I think it's an opportunity. I think you've checked the box historically with some of these women like Charlotte, like Becky, who have won it, where now you can start trying to create, it's a tool to create and uplift some of those other stars that you have within that division and kind of throw a rocket on someone's back. And I just haven't quite figured out who that is yet.
The women's Royal Rumble has to be better than Survivor Series, the women, right?
Yeah.
That's the hope.
Well, I mean, the Rumble last year was nearly perfect. Like, you got the Jordan Grace moment. You got the Jade and Bianca, Nia becoming more of a star. Like, Tiffany Stratton, like, they really made stars in last year's Rumble.
Better than the men's.
Yeah, 100%.
I think we said better than the men's, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's been true the last couple of years. All right, what do we have in news and notes this week, Brian?
All right, we've talked about Raw on Netflix. Well, Triple H, Tony Khan, they've been talking about, sorry, not Tony, Nick Khan, wrong Khan there. A couple of news and notes about the Raw on Netflix. Triple H at the Netflix media event revealed that Pat McAfee and Michael Cole will be back on the desk for that debut episode January 6th on Netflix. Nick Khan was asked about if WWE will be edgier when they make the move to Netflix. Quote, "That's definitely not happening. So it's family-friendly, multi-generational, advertiser-friendly programming. It's going to stay that way."
But I believe he also noted there's going to be less bleeping out of crowds, like if they're chanting holy shit.
That's good. Got a little of that 2 weeks ago, I thought. I thought that they stayed off the dump button a little bit. Was that last week or 2 weeks ago? I noticed that there was some either holy shit or something that they were said that was not bleeped. I thought it was interesting. So with their storytelling, you don't have to worry about, you know, ECW edgy type of programming. Their storytelling is just fun. It's edgy enough. And I think it's palatable for everybody. If someone says prick or they use a certain word that drop in every now and then, I guess that's fine. Because it's edgier now than it was with Vince. Tell you that. It's more gritty, I guess you could say.
They're closer to that TV-14 line than they've ever been. And I don't mind them kind of straddling that line, because you want to try to exist, like you said, for advertisers, and you want to make it a family-friendly product. You want to have those kids coming to the arena. So straddling that line to make everybody happy, I think they've done a pretty good job of that as of late.
Yeah, and I agree. And then in terms of the announcers, do you guys want McAfee back?
I love him. I think he's great in WWE.
But does that mean no Tessitore?
Yeah, what happens on SmackDown then?
Well, I think that's Tess, isn't it? Then Tessitore goes to SmackDown.
Are we sure?
Well, college football season's over by that point.
Right.
So he doesn't have to really worry about being somewhere that Friday night before a Saturday game.
He's not a basketball guy, is he, Gabe?
He doesn't really do basketball, no. Yeah. He's done football, obviously boxing. He's been very heavily involved in with ESPN back when they used to have Friday night fights.
If there's a top rank, he'll stop in. But otherwise, he's pretty much free now. So, it's him and
Wade.
And Wade Barrett, which is a very good combination, by the way, which I like. Well, and then
what
the
do they
other
do with
guy,
Corey Graves?
Third man in the booth.
Oh, right. Yeah.
With Corey? So Corey, Tess, and Wade Barrett.
Yeah.
By the way, one of my favorite Tess things is him no-selling people with hoods on. Like, I can see who that is. Like, it's Drew McIntyre.
I know.
Now, who the hell is that? Like, no, that's Drew. I've got eyes.
They've been BSing us for 30 years with that. Like, who is that? Who could that be?
They've been gaslighting us, and Tessitore is here to set us free.
That's right.
I mean, he saw him come in before all of us saw him come in. Wait a minute, that's Drew McIntyre. Yes, it is, sir.
All right, it is.
I noticed that too.
I want to get Tess on, man. I love him on Monday Night Raw. We need to get him. That needs to be a goal for 2025. We get Joe Tessitore on the program.
Some free agency news. Sean Ross Sapp reporting Penta officially a free agent. Previous reports have linked him to the WWE. As for his brother Rey Fénix, he is still with AEW. His contract status up in the air, we'll call it.
Well, because I think they added injury time on, and now because AEW is doing it, everybody's going to pretend to be upset about it. But this is part of the way the business works, right? Like, you signed a contract, injury time can be added on. You're not just going to let somebody walk out and go to somebody else's place, especially when you've been pretty brazen about where you're going. As much as I love Rey Fénix, like, I wish we could see more of Rey Fénix on television. I'm a huge Rey Fénix fan, but WWE should sign Penta. Like, you don't need Phoenix. Like, when Phoenix is available, you can bring him in, but Penta's good enough on his own. Like, Penta's had a really good run in different places as a singles performer. I think he can come into WWE and have an impact as a singles performer until Rey Fénix gets there.
Penta's so entertaining. And we've seen him tag team and singles in AEW. He's pulling that glove off and he's doing like this little prance, this little dance. I mean, it's very entertaining. And so that would be a breath of fresh air in WWE for him. Or make your $1 million on the indies or internationally. Either way, I look forward to seeing it. But the money for me is always in the tag team. I love when those two are together.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime I saw them together in AEW, it was always the second, maybe third best pop of the night. Mm-hmm. The music cranks and you get the Mexican flag out, and like those guys are just, they just raise the level of the energy in the building every time they, because you know you're going to get a show from those two. So
I just worry about WWE and how they will book him.
Vince doesn't work there but anymore.
Everyone, that's Dragon Lee, like Andrade.
Dragon Lee and Andrade aren't Penta. They're just
Andrade's up there.
Andrade,
he's not as good as Penta.
Well, Andrade, but he gets 15-minute matches all the time.
But that's it. And it's like, oh, this guy can go. Like, and then they forget about him, and then they move on.
That's
what do you mean they forget about him? He just had a best of seven.
You know what? That's not true.
Just saying.
You're just putting, that's a straw man right there. That's
he's on SmackDown in the first hour every damn week wrestling a match.
But he didn't do anything. He just had matches. There's no story.
Well, no. I mean, that's the job, is to wrestle. What do you mean? It's his job. He gives you that surprise elbow out of nowhere. You know, it's just like boom. It's like, whoa, he knocks a guy down all the time. It's very interesting.
All right. Well, finally, news and notes. TNA moving to some big venues, announcing two upcoming shows. Slammiversary taking place at the UBS Arena in New York, and Rebellion will take place at the Galen Center in LA.
I'm so happy for TNA, man. That's a step up in direction. What's so funny, guys, is like TNA is getting bigger buildings and AEW is going to have smaller buildings in 2025. How does that work? When AEW's got more coverage and more, you know, I would say probably a more vast fan base. That is for sure. But I'm happy for TNA. They've been cooking in 2024. That's one of the best companies in North America, quietly. Now, all the places they've gone for their pay-per-views, they've sold them out. They were in Montreal, then San Antonio. Good for them. It's growing. And you can thank Nick Nemeth for that, apparently. Champion.
That's right.
Yeah, look, it's another sign. We keep talking about this, of how healthy the professional wrestling business is. Everybody's eating. And TNA is running these buildings, just points towards, I mean, maybe they get a better distribution and television deal here coming up if they can continue to run events like this and then give themselves more exposure as a television product. I think that's just, again, good for everybody when there are more viable companies that can A, run big buildings, B, get television deals.
You know, it's always a surprise when you go to a TNA show, guys. Like, Gabe, you go in there and they know all the music as soon as the music hits, and they know the promo and know what to say at the end of promos. Like, oh, you watch, huh? Okay. Where do you find?
I don't. Did they botch Joe Hendry?
Yes, they botched Joe Hendry. Absolutely.
Okay, because that seems to be what's going on.
I'm assigned to watch TNA every Thursday. This is what you guys have me assigned. So I'm watching it, and I watched their last pay per view, which we'll get into in a second. Hmm. But yes, they botched it because it sold out in Detroit. At Wayne State, right? It's sold out. It's standing room only. What a better time to put the title on Joe Hendry.
Right.
And so he gets screwed, and it's like, and then he's in a turkey bowl in some gimmick battle royal or the gimmick. And they're like, why is he going back to gimmicks? He was the highest thing in the company beyond wrestling, like with music and Spotify and everything else. Like, this is the time while the iron is hot to push Joe Hendry as the guy. And now they put him back in the mid card again. And I'm just like, it's right there for you. Let Nick chase Joe Hendry.
And especially when you're losing stars, Speedball's a free agent. Josh Alexander is going to be a free agent soon. Like, it was there. It was made.
I don't understand. And by the way, if you're going to screw Joe Hendry, let him keep chasing for the title. That turkey bowl was not chasing for Nick Nemeth's title. I don't know what that was. Weird.
What did you boys have as your matches of the week?
Well, it starts with the men's War Games.
which was better booked than the women's war games. Here's what happened with the women's war games. It took one thing. You don't start off with Nia Jax, because her and Bayley in the ring together, that thing, it was a time, there was a stem winder. It took a while. It was slow, slow developing the women's battle royal, women's war games.
Yeah.
So I would have had Nia toward the end as the heater going after people. And I just think that, I think that they should have started off quickly with like a Naomi and Tiffy or something like that, just to get things rolling faster. And I think that that was a mistake. But I think the men's war games delivered. That's on the top of my list.
In terms of WWE, someone just mentioned them. Andrade and Nakamura on Friday was really good.
Okay, you can't knock Andrade and then give him match of the week. You can't.
Well, he was really good. It was a good match.
Okay, but that's fine. But you can't.
I thought he was never on your television. WWE doesn't know what they're doing. And he has a good match. Okay. What are you doing here, bro? It's
all right. I need you to turn your camera off. You're out of this.
Also, I needed a Hood's breakdown of the Saturday match. Was that Boo Boo Face from LA Knight?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Here's what LA Knight did on Saturday. He dropped the title twice. He dropped it when he went to the apron and then dropped it in the match. So what happened, LA Knight? Yeah, he dropped the title on the floor. He didn't have his concentration.
That was rough.
Shout out to Nakamura, though, the new Kabuki, because hair over his face, new outfit, you know, new music. It's like JR said, just go away for a while, learn new hold. Oh, just learn a new hold.
Talk about the old stuff. He's still spitting mist, though. It's like, you're from Japan? Like, mist, right? That's what we do?
Well, you know how wrestling is. Old racial tropes. Hey, you know what? He didn't throw salt.
All right. So progress.
So he's not Fuji. All right? He's not quite that. He's not Tiger Chung Lee. I'm just saying. It's just wrestling, Gabe. I mean, that's the old tropes, right? It's still around. Yeah. But Nakamura becomes a new character, goes away for a while, comes back, and look dominant. Yeah. Look dominant. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, so you forget all those matches he lost against Cody Rhodes when you see the Nakamura now. But I thought that delivered.
AEW, I had Pac versus Jay White from last night.
Yep.
Curious to see where that goes. And then Okada Garcia from Saturday.
Okada Garcia is on the top of my list too. Very good. A match you didn't think we'd see in the Continental Classic, but we did. As I mentioned before, guys, I thought that the bookends of SmackDown and Raw around Survivor Series War Games was very good. You don't see the world champion wrestle very often, but Cody and Carmelo was solid. That's no shade at Carmelo, but to see Cody in the ring, like, oh, okay. And pretty good. Pretty good. What did you think of Gunther Priest outside of the outside interference? Good.
Yeah, I thought it was solid. Yeah, I thought it was solid.
Yeah.
And then the outside interference, I guess, continues the whole Priest versus Judgment Day, but then kind of elevates Finn as the contender that it does for Saturday night's main event. I didn't mind it. Claudio Brody last night as well. I want to throw that one in the mix.
Yeah, that was good.
Brody King, the guy that should win the championship, the Continental Championship. The turning point was in Winston-Salem, North Carolina for TNA on Triller TV. Nick Nemeth took on Eddie Edwards. Very solid match. Weird outside interference. But once again, JBL interferes. What is going on with this guy? Are you not signed?
He's everywhere. What? He's everywhere.
Is he not a WWE guy? I don't understand. I need you to research that. Is he with WWE or not? How are you just being in GCW? You're in everybody's indie and just clotheslining people. What's going on with you?
It's a very
They have the loose relationship with TNA. So him showing up at TNA, and again on indies, as long as my guess is he's just got the Legends deal or whatever. If he has a WWE contract.
Clothesline Brian Myers.
Not under a Legends contract.
Oh, he's not.
That's what he says.
Of all people.
I know.
That guy should be. Well, he clotheslined Brian Myers in a turkey outfit. Brian Myers in the turkey outfit. So that was interesting. Matt Riddle is in TNA. He was in a matchup. It was Wentz, Kushida, and Riddle against Hardys and Ace Austin was pretty good. And if it's two out of three falls with Jordan Grace against Masha Slamovich, you know that was good. It's two out of three falls. It was pretty solid. So, I, you know, for a show weirdly filmed by the people at Russell, was that in Thanksgiving?
Wrestlecade.
Yeah. They filmed it. Gabe would have hated this as a you would have hated it, Brian, as a TV guy. Gabe would have hated it as an announcer. The hard cam was like 80 miles away. it wasn't like close. It was like 80 miles away. Whoever, it wasn't TNA filming it. It was WrestleCade. Though people, I was like, oh my god. I said, well, it's $10. You get what you pay for. Jesus Christ! Like the shaky handheld on the ground. That kind of thing. I'm like, oh god. I said, this Gabe would have hated. 80 miles away. You couldn't even see the guys until they were close up.
Who is that in the ring? Who's coming out?
And no Tessitore to tell you who it is.
Right.
Is that Nick or Ryan Nemeth? Which Nemeth is it?
So yeah. So a pretty good show from TNA on Triller TV.
Good for them.
Yep.
That'll do it for us this week. Again, always check out our YouTube page, youtube.com/@goodkarmawrestling, for any past interviews that we've done. Don't forget to check out our boy Jay Hood on SiriusXM's Busted Open Radio coming up on Sunday. So many things to continue to get ready for in the world of pro wrestling. We'll talk about it all next week right here.